Welcome, everyone. a couple weeks back, I was asked to, Brother James Brandenburger asked me to, he invited me to go share with the prisoners in the Allen County jail, and we went there, and the chaplain never showed up, so I had a little message ready for to share with the prisoners there that one day, and we just came home, and so then Steve asked me to share a devotional here, and I figure I can just kind of share what I had to share with the prisoners, except I had to make some adjustments because it's not the same, you know, sharing with the most powerful people on earth, which is the Bride of Christ, and we are really privileged to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. He's worthy to be served. And the title of what I got to share, it's Do You Want to Be Healed? And it's out of John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. But before we go there, I want to share with you all two different encounters of two different men in the Bible. True story. How Jesus Christ changed the life of two men in the Bible here. And in my heart today is that we can be encouraged, that we can just look into His Word and know that no matter where we're at, He can help us and He can deliver us. So I want to start by reading in Luke chapter 4, verse 18. It's a beautiful verse. It says, this is Jesus reading about Himself. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. And another meaning for that would be oppressed. So it is such a blessing to that we can rest in the power of Jesus Christ, not only to save us as we first have that encounter, but also that He is our the church is the bride of Christ, and so He provides for the needs of the church. He's always there, and we don't have to fear. We don't have to wonder if we're going to make it or not, because if we're under His authority, then we're in a good place, because He's mighty to save. A lot of times when we can't seem to overcome something, it's not the lack of His power, but it is deep inside, what do we really want? And that's why my title is Do You Want to Be Healed? And we'll look into that, why that title and why that question. So, but another thing that amazes me is that as we look at His ministry, he was here for mankind, and he wasn't here to play around. You know, we can see the intensity in His life. He had a burden for souls. He had all the love, all humility, all the power, all the authority. And, you know, He invites us to be part of this ministry. That's what amazes me. That's, you know, a lot of times we had a really good message from Brother Arlen, you know, about, not going back, not backsliding. And it was a good message. And sadly to say, those things are real. But if we stay close to Jesus Christ, I believe that He will take us through. A lot of times, if we give our back to God, that's when our downfall starts. So it's amazing. He gives me, I don't want to use the word career, but He gives us a ministry, and that amazing. You know, when I was a little boy, I always, for a couple years, I wanted to be a pilot. I wanted to fly airplanes, and And who would have thought that, you know, in reality, he gave me something more important than that. You know, how do you think people, like, for instance, like the bodyguards of Donald Trump, how do you think they feel? You know, it's an honor to watch over the president. And how do we feel about serving God? You know, it's not a small thing. It's a big thing. But somehow we just lose that. Brother Allen had a message about that not long ago. But anyway, going on in the message here, Mark chapter 5. And this passage here, it amazes me every time I read it. You know, I don't know if you can find a darker situation of a man. This man was in some deep, deep darkness. And if Christ could change this man, if Christ could deliver this man, he can. I don't know what, if anybody here is what all you got going, but I know the problems are real in even for a longtime Christian. You know, offenses come and many other things come that, like I said, I like to say that the Christian carries a target sign for the enemy. And reading in Mark chapter 5, starting in verse 1, says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes." Verse 2, "And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit." So this man that came to the encounter of Christ, he was demon possessed. And I wonder, you know, if you think about it, we have our origin from God. We are creation from God. And as you look at a little small little baby, how tender they are, how sweet they are, and how does someone get to that place of darkness, you know, of being a demon possessed? But you know what? If Christ is not in your heart, anything's possible, because it's an empty house. Your heart, if Jesus is not dwelling in the heart, it's an empty house where anything else can come in and take over. So I don't know how his life was. Maybe he was fatherless, Steve. Maybe you had a message on you know, being a father to our children. And so I don't know how, but there it is. This man was in a deep darkness. I don't believe anybody here is in that stage. You know, he was demon possessed. So that's how great this darkness was in this man's life. Verse 3. "Who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains." You know, he lived among the dead, for he himself was dead. He had no communion with God, and that's why he was dwelling among the tombs. He was spiritually dead, away from God. He didn't. This man could care less about reading the Bible. He had no heart. He didn't have the heart to pray. He didn't have a heart to sing. He didn't have a heart for God's mission here on earth. He didn't have a heart for the people. And like I say, he was away from God. He no communion with God, and so that's not where we want to be. Verse 4. "Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him." You know, I picture people trying many, many things with this man. And some of the things that came to my mind, maybe, and some of the things that people try today with a man that rebels, with a man that's full of wickedness. And one thing that where this kind of people fall is prison. And you can put a man in a prison, in a cell, and that don't take care of the problem. You can find help with the doctors. You know, there's even little children that their parents think that they can't sit still, and then they take them to the doctor and they have them on pills just to settle them down, and that's not God's heart. And maybe they took him to counseling. Maybe they try to take him from one place to the other, and nothing could help him. That man would not change. That man kept being rebellious, kept being, you know, down the road we're going to read how he was hurting himself. And then maybe they try to take him to church. Maybe they tried religion on this man. Maybe religion will fix him up. But as we heard today, religion without Christ is dead. This man, what he really needed was an encounter with Christ. And think about it. How would, if we would encounter a man like this today, what would be our response? How would we deal with that? I mean, sometimes even going downtown or going south side of the city here, you know, we just want to get out of there as soon as possible. It's a dangerous part of town, and you know, here's Christ with all the authority, with all the power. What would have been of him if he would have never encountered Christ? So it amazes me this story. Verse 5. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And I wonder, you know, when I read this today and yesterday, I had a question. You guys can maybe help me out with this. I wonder, what was the crying about? This man was demon-possessed, but he says that he was crying. And I wonder what that crying came from. If the crying was from anger, or deep inside he wanted to be delivered and he felt lonely and he felt helpless. Was that his cry? Or, you know, was he crying because nobody could help him? I don't know. But you know, it's I like to think on those things. I like to, you know, ask questions. And then he says, and cutting himself with stones. I wrote here on my notes, what kind of stones do people cut themselves with today? And I wrote some of the sins that, some of the easy sins that we were once part of. So I see that. I believe that, you know, for instance, I wrote here drinking, you know, when somebody is an alcoholic, some of them don't want to continue drinking, but they keep drinking, and they sometimes they even hate themselves for doing it, but they can't stop. And look how sin kills people. You know, how many times have a drunk man have gone in his car be driving all drunk, and he hits another family or another individual and kills somebody for his, you know, with his sin, drinking. What about smoking? You know, one cigarette after the next, just slowly killing his own self and can't stop, can't quit because he doesn't have Christ. What about drugs? One day, I was told this story. This is a true story. One of my cousins, they were doing a barbecue, and they had the grill going, and he was with a bunch of friends. And many of my cousins, they do drugs, you know, of all kinds. But one time, he was with some of his friends, one of my cousins, And one of his friends had taken some sort of mushrooms. I'm not sure how you call them, but so he took some of them and he started just laughing and laughing. And what he ended up doing, he put his hands on the grill. And as he was, and as he did that, he just kept laughing and laughing, and his hands were burning, you know, killing himself, you know, cutting himself with stones. What about, and then I wrote here, is there a stone I like to cut myself with? Do I keep a stone nearby, but that once in a while I grab that stone and cut myself? You know, those very first sins that I mentioned, smoking, drugs, fornication, those probably are the easy ones, but, you know, but there's the sins of the spirit, which are more easy to hide and that prevail more among the church at times. You know, we touched on a couple of those, and one was staying offended. That's a stone that we can cut ourselves with when, you know, offenses will come. Offenses, we can't stop those. But it's up to us if we want to stay offended, you know. What about unbelief? Unbelief is the sin against the remedy. You know, because we're healed by faith in Christ. But if you don't want to believe, then that's, you're not going to get healed. You're sinning against the remedy, the cure. What about indifferent to Christ's mission? Like I said before, Christ came with a burden. He was here to do his Father's business, and he expects us the same from us. You know, it's a little different. We have wives, we have children, and you know, we gotta provide. But at the same time, he is a great example of how he never lose focus. He was consistent. The little short life that he did here on earth, he was consistent. He stayed on top. He was faithful to his heavenly Father. And in verse 6 and 7 says, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. In verse 7, and cried with a loud voice and said, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. So how is it that we can see that demons can identify the character of Christ, you know, the power, all the authority who Christ really is? Why is it that, you know, some people go that far and say that they don't believe in God? I don't get that. I believe that deep inside that they do believe in God. They have a conscience. And we see the mighty power of Christ when even demons can't, you know, they have to flee. The light and darkness can't mix. And so when somebody with a broken spirit and a broken heart invites Christ into their life, well, the cleansing happens. The cleansing is going to have to happen because, you know, them demons can't stay there. And he brings healing. So all this, he finally the help came for this man. The one, the chosen one, the Alpha and Omega, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, finally came to this man's encounter. And you know, that's when he really got healed. That's when he got delivered. Verses 8 and 9. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou clean spirit. And he asked him, what is thy name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Do you think it would have made a difference if there was 100 million legions in that man? You think Christ would have been outnumbered? Of course not. It didn't matter how many. But it does amazes me how a man got to that place, you know. Why would there be so many in one soul in one man. How much darkness. And yet, you know, my heart today is to highlight the power of Christ. You can't get to that place where you think that you can't be delivered, because that's a lie. There's nothing that Christ cannot deliver you from. And I'm going to finish this passage here by reading verses 10 to 20. And he besought him much that he would not send them out of the country. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding. And all the devils besought him, saying, send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave the leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine. And the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000, and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was done. And when they come to see Jesus and see him, that he was that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting in cloth and in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that he was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath compassion on thee. And so we see the great work of Christ in this man's life. He was able to deliver this man that was demon possessed and turn him into an evangelist. Sorry, yeah, an evangelist. And so, it's just an amazing story how only Christ could have helped this man at this point. And you know, moving on to my next passage. Let's go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5, verse 1 to 9. This is another example of Christ's power, Christ's ability to change people's lives. That's his ministry. He came to work in the hearts and the souls of men. John chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. Verse 5 says, or I'm going to read verses 1 to 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In this lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Verse 5, and a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. So this man was there, was laying there for 38 years. I'm 37 now. Next month I'll be 38. So he was there the same much as my, pretty much my lifetime. It's amazing how, you know, 38 years. 38 years sick, laying there. That's a long time. But here it is, the one, Christ. It's near. It's there to help him now. But this is what amazes me out of this passage here. Verse 6 says, when Jesus saw him lay and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he said unto him, wilt thou be made whole? In other words, do you want to be healed? Do you want to be healed? Jesus told them or asked them. And I would like to think, this is my personal opinion, I would like to think that this man misheard Jesus. You know why? Because let's look at the question again. Jesus asked, will thou be made whole? Do you want to be healed? That's the question he asked. And what was the man's response? You know, Jesus didn't ask him if he had a man to put him in the pool. That wasn't his question. Jesus asked him, do you want to be healed? That question there could have been a yes or no answer. You know, do you want to be healed? Right? All he had to say is yes. But, you know, he says in verse 7, the impotent man answered him, sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another step down before me. In verse 8, Jesus said unto him, rise up, take up thy bed, and walk. So even though the man didn't answer yes to Jesus, Jesus went ahead and healed the man. The mercy of God, the power of God it was the ministry of Christ in action. He was, I imagine Christ, you know, seeing all the potential, all the sick, all the nobodies there, you know, all the people that people they didn't care for. That's the people that Christ went to. But in closing here, I would like to say that. You know, sometimes we can be like this man. Before I close, I want to share another story. There was a, before I came to this church here, a lot of you know, I used to go to a Pentecostal church. And there was a preacher once share a story with us that, you know, in the Pentecostals, they like doing a how do you call them, altar calls, quite a bit, almost every service. And so the pastor had a message on healing, you know, spiritually and physically. And when people came, this pastor was ready to pray for this man that was seeking healing. But he said that as he was getting ready to pray for this man, he said that the Spirit of God told him, don't pray for him. He doesn't want to be healed. I don't know how to take it. I'm just sharing and you take it for what it's worth. But he said that the Spirit of God told him, don't pray for him. He doesn't want to be healed. He receives a disability check every month. And he likes where he's at. He's getting a paycheck and he doesn't want to be healed. And so that's the title of my message today. Do you want to be healed? So When Jesus asked this man, do you want to be healed? He said, I don't have nobody to take me in, right? And the question is, what is my response? What is my response when God wants to heal me? Because now we know that he's able, he's almighty, he's all powerful. It's not a lack of God's power. But when God points something in my life, and it doesn't have to be sin, when God wants to take me to higher ground, what is my response? What is my excuse? And just to close, the question again, do you want to be healed? And I close with that. Thank you all, and I ask that you continue to pray for me and my family, and God bless.